Okay, let's get started. Tom Gimbel joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch, founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hey, John Williams. How are you?
Pretty good. Living and working downtown, man. Life is good. I hope things are good for you.
They're good. I was with somebody last night, and I heard she was getting a curb, using the Curb app, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of it myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just frustrating when you want to come in and do this city as I advocate, and then it's hard to get around. And I've been saying don't take cabs for granted. Plan to either wait or find another way to get around the city. And the same with rideshare. So any of these apps are good information. Hey, let's talk
Absolutely.
About job openings, all-time yep. high. You are talking to recent college grads. What are you saying?
Matt, if you want to get a job, right now is the time. And I get that a lot of people want to, now that travel's opened up and now you can get back to Europe and start doing some things, that a lot of people want to have life as usual. However, in this economy, it is such a great time to get your foot in the door with companies that you may not want to pass it over. There is just such an opportunity, whether it's Fortune 100 companies or startups or everything in between, that if you're willing to work hard, there is a job for you.
You think there's some flexibility out there, too, on the hiring side? That is, my degree is in this area, but I want to work for a company in that area, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't know if you can be as specific as what area of the company you want to work in. They've got to want to hire you. However, if you're a liberal arts major or obviously a business major or something along those lines, and you want to get in, that companies, because of the labor shortage and there not being enough experienced talent out there, so many companies are rolling the dice on recent college grads and saying, you know what, we'll learn and we'll suffer through your mistakes and inexperience, and in turn, hopefully you'll be loyal to us and we'll grow together, and which has always been a good thing coming out of a recession back to when my old bones did it in 94, and that was how I got jobs.
Is it still about the same number of jobs per job seekers, 10 million, 10 million?
Yeah, I still think there's probably a little bit higher demand. There's more job openings than people. And, you know, right now we've seen the rush of recent college graduates from May. We'll see what happens coming out of the December graduates. I think what we're going to start seeing is more back-to-work parents or people that maybe took the summer off. And we'll see a big jobs number coming up in the October jobs report.
I haven't opened up the phone lines on that. Maybe I will on my 9 to noon show sometime. Recent college grads or parents of, how's the job market out there? What are you hearing?
I mean,
what do you think I'd hear?
Oh, I think you'd hear that, well, they want my kids to come into the office, or I want my kids to come into the office. I think you're going to get one of those. And it really does seem like we've got the tale of two parents, and one is the participation trophy parents that think their kids are doing great no matter what, and the other ones are the ones saying, get your butt in the office and work and learn what it's like to be part of a team and an organization and do that. And I think we're just going through a societal metamorphosis right now, John, and it's going to take a couple of years to figure itself out.
Well, not to say the one is better than another, but I think that the newbie should be ready to go into the office. I mean, you've got to learn the corporation, the culture, the personnel. Somebody who's been there 10 years can maybe work from home, but I...
Well, how are you learning the culture, John, if the person who's been there 10 years isn't there?
Oh, fair enough, but let's start with the first point. The kids should be ready to go into the office, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, 2 years ago, everybody got... The economy was still great, not as good as it is now, but still great, and everybody got a job and they were excited to go to work. Now, after being home for a year and a half, now people aren't. And so it's one of these things that of an entitlement situation where you get an inch, you take a yard, and what we have. And I do think kids should be going in, recent college graduates should be going into the office and learning structure and taking a shower to get dressed, to go into the office, to put in some time and to do that. But I also think that you need the experienced people there to show them the ways.
Okay.
And what you meet. What you learn after hours, before hours, at a happy hour, lingering around the conference room after a meeting, those are the things that elevate people's careers.
Tom Gimbel's the founder and CEO at LaSalle Network. Thank you, Tom. Stay well.
Wear a mask. Be healthy.
That's Tom Gimbel. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. Philip Weiss is up next. Hey, Philip, thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, John.
Philip is the president at Cyfarth at Work. Let's talk a little bit about the moment where you are interviewing an applicant, I think so much of the attention these days is on people that are looking for jobs. But imagine the plight of the person who's trying to attract those applicants. What's that story like?
Yeah, it's actually becoming one of the most challenging jobs around. The tables have really turned in the last 3 or 4 months, John, because we know this talent shortage is plaguing virtually every industry. 70% of employers say they're having issues hiring people for some jobs, if not many jobs. So what's happened is all the rules that we had before that applied to the applicant, to your point, be prepared, make sure you ask the right questions, know all about that company before you step in the interview room or the Zoom interview, now apply to the interviewer. They have to be ready, prepared, and on top of their messaging to ensure they don't lose candidates because they can't afford to.
So you got one on the line and you hate to have them walk out with a "well, I'll see" attitude, huh?
That is the bottom line. And frankly, people are reluctant to take offers right now for all kinds of reasons, and not the least of which is there's other offers on the table. So small missteps can really be the death knell of a possible new hire. And things like comfort, creating the most basic comfort in the interview, has made a difference to some of our clients. Whether it's a Zoom interview and you let people know before you even start that they should ask any question they have, they should ask for clarification, or if it's a live interview, use the concierge approach from a finer hotel. Have someone check in on somebody in the waiting room, bring them a bottle of water. Those seemingly small steps, even at the start of the interaction, set a tone that can make a difference.
I get that, and that makes perfect sense. I got to tell you, though, as a person who has never concierged, resent's not the right word, but I'm just kind of rolling my eyes at how we need to coddle job applicants these days.
Yeah, and to be very candid, this is a pendulum-like situation. This is where we are right now, and we know from past experience, from past business cycles, it's going to change again. Having said that, there is a business rationale to taking some of these steps, not necessarily the concierge water bottle in every case, but for example, clients are telling us, John, that because we advise them, learn all you can about the applicant, make sure you've studied their resume, kind of, we call it mining the gold in that resume. Maybe they did volunteer work you might not have asked them about before because it wasn't a job, and now you are. You're showing that interest, and you actually realize they have skills that will really help your company. And a quick illustration of that is one of our companies was hiring somebody for a role that involved real estate transaction work. And the applicant's experience on the volunteer side included working for a charity that set up playgrounds. They never would have asked about that volunteer work. It seemed irrelevant, but now they did to show more interest. And they learned that that applicant had dealt with city permits, construction companies, designers, the kind of interactions that make the real estate work that much more successful. So even that extra step, which might seem maybe a little excessive, serves the company.
That's a really interesting point. I know my son's gone on some job interviews in the last month or so, and one of the things that I've heard from him and others is it's a little frustrating when they do all the talking. And maybe you're asking questions and they're giving you information, but if it would seem to me to be a red flag, at least in the first interview, if they're not doing a lot to find out about you, if they're just giving you anecdotes or talking about themselves, I suppose that's a mistake businesses have made in the past. But given the labor situation, it's a mistake you probably don't want to make now.
Yeah, that's a really important tip, and one that we've actually shared with clients, which is we don't want to go too far in any direction. And that means a great conversation, equaling a good back and forth, is ultimately going to reveal the best candidates and make those candidates feel that you've really validated what they've done in the past and have an interest in their goals for the future. So a great conversation about the applicant's long-term goals, what they're looking for out of a company, that ensures that you have a sense that they're legit, that they're going to be with you, not just for the short term, but it also allows you to reflect back to them and say, you know what? you want to give ideas outside of the scope of your job. Here's an example of that. That video that you saw in the lobby, that was a suggestion of one of our guys in the shipping department. So we are open to ideas from all directions, from all people. So you're right, the exchange matters, but it also serves the organization to hear a little bit more and then respond in kind.
You know, you sound like that always be closing thing where you need to close the deal, close the deal, close the deal. Only now it's the employer trying to close the deal on the prospect, isn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't have said that better. 3 months ago, John, we started getting calls from our clients saying, we know you've trained us on recruiting legally, interviewing legally, but we know you have this course totally separately on sales for sales teams. We'd like you guys to actually train our recruiters on the sales course. So clients figured out it's now merging. Don't go too far. Don't overpromise. Don't delve into the personal in a way that's really inappropriate, but use that ABC, always be closing mentality from the moment you meet the applicant until you make the offer and even follow up in a way that they feel they can count on the company.
Give me a short answer to this one, Philip. Is this question so germane anymore? How do you feel about vaccinations? We want all of our employees vaccinated. Is that a relevant question, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so the real question that employers are asking, and it may not be in the interview because they often will make an offer first, is to confirm that somebody is vaccinated, as opposed to having a philosophical discussion about it, since that can go in any direction, as you can imagine. So the question about have you vaccinated, that's going to be appropriate, but it will probably be later in the process.
Philip Weiss joins us regularly on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He's the president of SeyFarth at Work, SeyFarth@work.com. Thanks, Philip.
Thanks for having me, John.
So here's another one of those neighborhood festivals that's happening. Greg Carroll's the director of partnerships and events at the Uptown Chamber of Commerce. And the Taste of Uptown is just a week away. Let's plan for it. Hey, Greg, you're on WGN. How are you?
Good, John. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Really good. I know the Uptown neighborhood pretty well. Those who don't, tell us where it is.
Yes, yeah, so Uptown is right on Chicago's lakefront. So basically it goes from Irving Park in the south to Foster up at the northern end, of course, Lake Michigan to the east, and then over to Clark and Ravenswood.
So if you're thinking, I know where Wrigley Field is, go a neighborhood or two north and hang a little bit of a ride over to the lake, and now you're in Uptown, right?
Exactly. Can't miss it.
What kind of food, what kind of culture do we find there?
Yeah, so we're excited. You know, this event that we do, this is the fifth year we've hosted the Taste of Uptown, and we really see it as a celebration of all the cultural and culinary diversity that our, you know, neighborhood has to offer. So we've got everything from Ethiopian to Vietnamese, Chinese, Oaxacan cuisine from Mexico, Thai, all kinds of great stuff. So we're really blessed and lucky in Uptown to have such a diverse culinary scene.
I would say the first one that comes to my mind is Asian cuisine, Chinese, that sort of thing, Vietnamese.
Yes. Yep, exactly. So we have the Argyle District and to the northern end of Uptown. And just on that one street, you can find so many diverse things to eat. We actually have a food guide that we've produced that kind of highlights not just the Argyle scene, but throughout Uptown, all the really wonderful, truly unique things that you can find here.
Thai pastry is on the list, right, of places to go?
Exactly. Yeah. So they're a newcomer to the event this year. So kind of each year that we do this, we have a mix of, you know, restaurants that have been featured before, but Thai pastry is a new one for us this year. So I know they're going to be doing some baby egg rolls and some crab rangoon, which are always crowd favorites. So we're really excited to showcase their cuisine this year.
You got pizza, you got Mexican food. It really is a kind of ethnically blended neighborhood, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, we love that kind of, speaking of Thai pastry, which is new to the event this year, we have GGO's Pizzeria, which is also new to the event, but they've been in the neighborhood for so many years. And just the other day, I was talking with someone who said, yeah, when I was in middle school or high school, we'd walk to GGO's and get some pizza. So, you know, we're excited to be able to showcase some of the older restaurants as well.
So this is the Taste of Uptown. So how do you do it? Do you get, a wristband, right?
Exactly, yeah. So when you check into the event, we'll give you a map that is kind of your guide and really serves as your ticket. And we've got 18 participating stops this year. So it's we're almost to the point where we're ready to have two routes, but right now we're not quite there. So it's a real bargain for people that buy tickets. You can get up to 18 tastings at different, you know, restaurants throughout Uptown. We always encourage people to wear loose pants because you're going to eat a lot.
So I pay $25-$30, I get the band, and then does that give me free samples, if you will, or do I pay per
sale? Exactly. So you just pay for your ticket up front, it's $30, and then all the tastings come with that. So you're able to kind of choose, and you kind of choose your own route. You can choose to skip some if there's, you know, any kind of food restrictions that you might have, you know, but we often find people try to squeeze in every single stop. So they're quite full, like I said, by the end of the event.
You want them on the masks on when people go into the shops, right?
Exactly. Yes, we are trying to. We're encouraging folks to wear their mask, require that, and except for when you're actively eating or drinking, which is kind of the current guideline that's out there. We are also asking for people to be vaccinated before signing up for this event, and that's part of our checkout process. So just kind of making it safe for everyone.
Okay, so this is next Wednesday. It's from in the evening, right? 6 to 9 p.m. Did I see that somewhere too?
That's correct. Yeah. So we're still selling tickets. We've got we are selling them quickly. We expect to run out probably sometime this week. So we're encouraging folks to go to our website, exploreuptown.org, and buy their tickets sooner than later.
Exploreuptown.org. Greg Carroll, Director of Partnerships and Events there from the Chamber. Well done, and good to get the word out now. So you got plenty of time. You got 8 days to get your ticket, get your wristband, and make plans to eat well in Uptown. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, John.
That's Greg Carroll. It's 12:41 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. The business news continues now with Dave Schwann.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. U.S. home construction was up nearly 4% last month from July. The Commerce Department said the increase was due in large part to a big increase in apartment construction. The August increase left home construction at a seasonally adjusted rate of 1.62 million units. That's over 17% above the pace a year ago. I'm Dave Schwann, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Johnny, did you check out the Harvest Moon last night?
I did. Well,
wow.
It's some of the, I don't know, skies and sunrises and sunsets and the moonscapes. I've noticed them more this year. It's been lovely.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of harvest, it's on. And we are continuing our focus on national farm safety and health this week. And today, the focus is on the back half of that, farmer health, as in, when was the last time you went to the doctor, Mr. or Ms. Farmer?
They tend to their fields. They tend to their animals. They also need to tend to themselves.
That's Krista Lisser of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. And we're not just talking about physical health. Lamar Greft is a former Iowa farmer who is now a therapist to farmers in North Carolina.
Farmers have one of the highest suicide rates.
That may not surprise you because we often hear of the stresses of farming, the isolation, and any number of other potential contributors, as well as easy access to ways to commit suicide. But he wants farmers to have their mental injuries treated the same way as physical injuries.
We go to see a doctor when we can no longer walk because our knees are so bad. We talk to somebody when we cut a finger off and not just put duct tape over it. And we have to do the same thing with our mental health to keep us on top of our game and to keep us going so that we can make things work better for our families and for ourselves in the long run.
And sometimes we don't notice someone is depressed or suicidal until it's too late, but there can be signs.
And this doesn't just apply to farmers, obviously, but changes in their behavior, little things sometimes. Maybe they always met the rural mail carrier when they dropped off the mail and they haven't been at the mailbox for the last couple of weeks. Maybe they haven't been keeping their weeds cut and their farm was always pristine before.
One of the places to look for help is the Illinois Farm Bureau website, which has an extensive list of resources. It's been a kind of a mixed bag at the Chicago Board of Trade today. Beans are up 12 cents at $12.74 per bushel. Wheat is down about 8 cents at $6.92. Corn is at $5.17 a bushel. That's down about 4.5 cents. From the farm to your belly, it's National Pecan Cookie Day, and it's National Chai Day. I know a lot of people love their chai lattes. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
I'm fascinated by this first story. Amy Guth joins us on the Business Lunch now. Let's talk about Subway food. It was going down, down, down. They said, we got to change the menu. What happened, Amy?
Yeah, so they're a privately held company. Sounds like we're having some technical issues here.
I'm sorry, you're coming in loud and clear on our end, eh?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, keep talking. Tell us about Subway.
Okay, so Subway announced on Tuesday.
Let's do this. Let's reconnect with her in just a minute. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch with Amy Guth, and she can evidently not hear us as well as we can hear her. Subway announced that August sales for their U.S. restaurants have just come in. And remember, Subway was having trouble. They were decreasing their footprint. Folks were going there less often, to say nothing of the complications with the pandemic last year. So they changed the menu out. It's something they'd actually been working on for a while. And they say that August sales for restaurants have been the strongest since 2013. The company said it expects to beat its sales targets for the year by more than $1 billion. The announcement is an early victory lap for the privately held company, which has been trying to turn around its business for years. I've been doing my part personally. The company announced Tuesday that sales for its U.S. restaurants were the strongest since 2013. In mid-July, Subway's U.S. restaurants began offering nearly a dozen new or improved ingredients, as well as 10 revamped original sandwiches. The menu changes, which were in the works for more than 2 years, were a key component of the company's comeback bid. The results released Tuesday are a sign that the turnaround plan is working. Subway saw its highest average unit volume per week in 8 years. Some of the numbers are really impressive. I wanted to grab a couple of them. Here it is. By August, U.S. restaurant sales rose more than 4% with compared to the same time two years ago. I guess that'd be more relevant 2 years ago. The top 25% of Subway's restaurants saw their sales climb by a third, and the top 75% saw footprint increase an average of 14%.
What is your favorite sandwich there, John?
Well, this is the thing. I'm worried that they probably ruined it for me because it was that mayonnaise-heavy tuna that they would reach in with an ice cream scoop and then smooth around on some bread.
Yeah, I like that too. But then didn't we hear that it wasn't really tuna? Or I don't know.
Yep, that's what they said. And frankly, the whole business was kind of repulsive to members of my family. But I thought it was delicious. And now you watch. They're going to have a porpoise-friendly tuna with less mayo, and it's not going to taste as good.
There's the rotisserie chicken sandwich is also one of my favorites there.
I have to go back. I haven't been there now. Oh, hey, and by the way, there's Amy now back on a phone line. Amy, we just did your Subway story.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to leave you hanging there, but glad you got through it. Sorry about that. You sounded like a robot.
I'm sorry to hear that, but it sounded good on our end. Still, you sound fine on the phone. So anyway, they rejiggered their menu a little bit. Subway has bounced back. Talk to us about Chipotle. What's the latest with Chipotle?
Yeah, seems like a lot of fast food news today. So what Chipotle is doing, and we've seen a couple of similar moves from them, is they're going to offer a smoked brisket menu item. They've been trying to do this for a couple of years, but they're going to roll it out in a really interesting way. So if you're signed up for Chipotle's loyalty program, you'll be able to start ordering this through the app and website today. But by Thursday, it'll be available to more widely to everybody if you're not a member of the loyalty program. And then DoorDash won't offer it until Monday. So it's not all at once. They're going to kind of roll this out to different users at different time. But again, they've been kind of working on this for a couple of years. We saw they offered a quesadilla option. They offered a cauliflower rice thing. They had kind of done a test here. Same here with this one. They had tested in a couple of stores and then are rolling it out more widely. So people can look for that starting today if they're loyalty members.
Supply chain issues have been a problem for restaurants, too. We don't think about it that way, but I guess they've had to deal with some of that stuff as well, huh?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's such a big part of a lot of issues for restaurants. Where we see it the biggest, though, is through chicken. A couple of years ago, I'm sure you recall that chicken sandwich war that kind of bubbled back up again this past summer. But we've continued to see a lot of that just due to supply issues in the meatpacking industry.
Let's talk about McDonald's. What's the latest on the McDonald's front?
Yeah, the fast food news continues. And that is, so McDonald's pledged earlier today that they would significantly reduce, and they're defining significantly as about 90%, reduce the use of plastic in its Happy Meal. So those little toys are usually plastic things they have seen some backlash there. Starting in the UK a couple of years ago, there was a couple of young ladies that started a petition and kind of created this big campaign against them. So some other countries have already seen this roll out. So through Ireland and England and in parts of France, they have already started doing this and removing plastic. But now that's going to roll out in the U.S. They're trying to replace it with things like a little cardboard piece that you would kind of punch out all the pieces and put the toy together, or books or puzzles or things like that that aren't plastic. So they're rolling this out through 2025, but aiming again for that 90% reduction in plastic toys. So they're going for a much more greener approach to what the Happy Meal toys will be.
That brings to mind the ordinance in Chicago being proposed to limit the amount of plastics and even condiments that restaurants put in the bag. You are going to be asked if you want it, and if you don't respond yes, it's not going to be in there for takeout and delivery. And I don't think that's such a bad idea either.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of companies are looking for ways to reduce waste, and even some airlines have been experimenting with reusable items on planes, or more compostable cups or bamboo-based stirrers or napkins and things like that. And I think it's an issue on a lot of companies' minds. And I think a lot of consumers really seem to be demanding that from their companies that they support.
Yeah. FedEx is raising its shipping rates, huh?
Yeah, they are. So we saw a little bit of this. It was not exactly a surprise after the post office had asked for a temporary price increase over peak holiday season. That happened last month, kind of under the radar. But FedEx yesterday said that they're going to raise prices. It's going to apply to U.S. domestic, export and import services. So FedEx Ground, home delivery, that's going to go up by an average of 5.9%. And then FedEx Freight, that will be up by about 7.9%. A lot of this has to do, again, with supply chain issues. And they're also, we're going to see some fuel surcharges that are going to be added to certain FedEx shipments, including like FedEx Express and Ground and other FedEx Freight shipments. And the company said in a statement that all of this is all about they called it the challenging operating environment of just supply chain issues and bottlenecks and things like that, and coupled with the increase of more people suddenly shifting over the last year and a half to e-commerce from in-store shopping.
Just time for the headline on this last one, Amy, but what's the Amazon marijuana story?
Yeah, so essentially the short version is Amazon is going to, they're going to start lobbying to legalize marijuana federally, but they're also going to go back through job applicants and former workers who were perhaps terminated due to maybe failing a drug test, testing positive for marijuana, and reorganize that and to kind of say, hey, we let you go for something that's now not such a thing. They recognize a lot of states have legalized marijuana, including Illinois, so they're going to be looking at their workforce again.
Yeah, no kidding. We're delivering this stuff now. Maybe we ought not to have fired you or not hired you because you had once consumed it. So that's catching up with the times. And Amy Guth, thanks for your time today, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.